Welcome to The Grow Show. I'm Cindy Code, and this regular podcast series is brought to you by The Harvest Group. Today's Grow Show is part four of our recent podcast series on how to make more money. If you missed the first three, you can find them on lawnandlandscape.com. Just search for The Grow Show. Quick review, part one covered what is gross margin. Part two discussed increasing your gross margin with job sequencing. And part three reviewed improving systems and processes. So today's podcast is really a continuation of part three, making more money by improving systems. Head harvesters Bill Armin and Ed LaFlam will spend more time focused on the importance of quality and consistent systems. Welcome, Bill and Ed.
Hi, Cindy. This is Ed LaFlam from the East Coast.
Hello there, Cindy and Ed. This is harvester Bill Armin from the West Coast.
Nice to hear your voices, guys. Bill, let's get started with a quick review of our previous podcast and then get down to the nitty-gritty that our listeners are really eager to hear about.
Thanks, Cindy. And I'm eager to disclose some great areas to improve your gross margins. And we've had some great successes, folks, amongst your members, people that are members of the Harvest Way Best in Class. You know who I'm talking about. We've had some improvements of anywhere from 3 to 8% in gross margin. Now, this takes time, so be patient with it. So it's no instant fix here. But over a period of time, 1, 2, 3 years, you should always be increasing your gross margin. We look at why is our gross margin lower? Why does it go down? And there's lots of reasons. I want to share with you a few of them. One would be turnover of personnel. Another would be having the wrong customer in place. Inaccurate estimating or no estimating at all. Operational execution. Increasing in costs without a price adjustment or insufficient increases to cover those costs. Scope of work change without a price adjustment. Extra work performed without billing the extra work. We've seen that occur. And that really does mess up your gross margin, by the way. Inaccurate job costing, basic administration or lack thereof, lack of mindset within the organization. Why should I get more productive? You know, so we want to encourage that mindset. And then the last one, what we're going to share today, is real, no system or not very good systems that are in place. So really you're left with several choices in today's world. You can really do nothing. You sit around, mope and grope and just complain. So do nothing. That's one option. We don't suggest that option. The other options would be decrease your costs. That's what we're going to focus on today. Or you can increase your revenue. Good luck. That's pretty hard to do that in today's economy. You can do both those, decrease costs and increase revenue. That really accelerates your margin and profitability. But today we're going to focus on really looking at your costs. You know, and your costs really, if you can manage your direct costs effectively, that'll affect your gross margin in a positive way. So most improvements today without raising your costs are really going to be focused on increasing your gross margin. So really, gross margin, when you look at your financials, it's really the financial furnace. It's really managing the largest cost in your business, and that's your direct labor. So let's review this. Gross margin is really a function. It equals revenue minus your direct costs. Your direct costs is your direct labor that's foreman and below with your labor burden, your taxes and insurance, and your material costs. So revenue minus direct costs equals gross margin. So today we're going to focus on three ways to lower your direct costs by having the right systems in place. So Ed, why don't you share with us some of the ideas on getting better gross margins by having the right systems?
Sure. You know, before we do that, Bill, I just want to help to clarify to the landscapers listening here about the gross margin, and so they understand this when we're talking about saving 3 points or 4 points or five points, what that really means in dollars. And just take an example of a $100,000 job. If the gross margin is 45%, that means there's $45,000 left on the job to use to cover overhead and profit. If it's 50%, then you see it's $50,000. So the difference on the 5 points would be $5,000. So you see, we're talking about saving thousands of dollars here, and that's why it's really important we drill down on our cost, okay? All right, with that said, it's really important, everyone and Bill, to have a budget and track those costs. Establish a budget for labor and material, and that's, like, really important, and it's good to do that by department. You know, the accountants would say profit center, but you're probably talking in the lingo of by department. Then track your progress of the budget to actual. Last podcast, we talked about our estimating processes. So once you've got the estimate, put it in the budget, and then compare it to actual. And then that way, you know, you can find out just how you're doing. It doesn't have to be a complicated system. It could just be a simple Excel program that says, the job has a 500 hours for the year, and every time you go, subtract the amount of hours from the 1,000, and then you're going to know where you are on the job. So if you're a small contractor, you don't have to have this elaborate job cost system, but you do need to burn down the hours so that you know how many hours are left and you can track it, okay? So then learn what is working and what needs focused attention. If you're having a problem on a particular job or a phase of the job, zero in on that and correct the problem. That's where it's important that either the account managers or owner get involved with the numbers, you know. And when I say numbers, I mean the hours. If those hours are running over that you see every day, if they begin to run over, find out why, drill down. And then you can adjust your game plan as the year moves on if you're burning down more hours than you should be. Okay, so that's the first thing, is budget and track your costs, and namely your hours.
Great.
Do you have a second?
I do, Harvester Ed. That's a great idea. Now, that takes it at a macro level. So you have a budget with your revenue, and you track your labor and materials at a macro level. The next system that you want to do is break that down by revenue stream. We have a lot of companies we deal with, and they don't do this. They don't break it out. So we don't know. Maybe their margins are low, maybe they're high, we don't know. We know what their whole margin is for all the revenue streams, but we don't know if the maintenance is making money or the extra work's making money. So we need to break those down so we can determine where we're making money and where we need to focus attention. So we want to job cost your jobs on any revenue stream that you have that's greater than 10% of your total revenue. So if you're doing $100,000 a month, if you're doing irrigation repair or any other extra work, flowers installation or anything that's above and beyond regular routine maintenance that represents 10% or more, $10,000 in this example, you need to track that. So job cost your jobs. Try to break down your labor, including burden and material costs, by these streams. And examples of these would be certainly your maintenance is your core. You want to track maintenance costs. That's your direct cost, just labor plus burden plus materials for maintenance. Then separate out your extra work or your enhancements, like planting or retrofits. If you just start with that, just maintenance or is it extra? That's the first step you should do at the very, very least. Now, if you want to break it down further, if you have 10% or greater of revenue, say an extra irrigation repair or tree care or snow removal or installation and construction work, break those jobs down individually. So now we know by revenue stream and then by job. So very few people out there are job costing their jobs currently. We highly recommend that you do that. At the very minimum, cost track your areas by revenue stream at the very minimum. So this is pretty complex for most people. You get a job number and you get a job phase. And so you have to have the job that you're going to charge this labor materials to and different phases. So you may have a phase 1, 2, or 3, or A, B, and C, or extra. Some guys use extra and M, the letters M for maintenance, E for extras, and then you can break those costs down in your time cards. There are some great electronic tools out there available to do this for you, to track this. So we saw a lot of them at the GIC conference. They'll be at your local conferences. There's 2 or 3. If you drop us an email, we'd be happy to share with you some of the ones that we looked at. So if you don't job cost right now, if you don't have that job costing, start with weekly schedule of jobs with hours. Just look at your weekly schedule. So you send out your guys, they go to the job, you have a crew hours, they spend 2 crew hours. So at least break that down by job. Instead of just sending them out, they do these 5 jobs that day. So get a weekly schedule with the hours supposed to be done on that job. Compare the scheduled time with actual hours. So the guys just put simply next to that schedule, how many hours did they actually put on that job that day? Then you can look at are you above the job's budget or are you below? So you keep tracking. So once again, we talked about what gets measured gets managed. What gets managed gets improved. So also, even on the extra work, you can track the hours estimated versus the actual hours by each job. So when you complete the job, you have a work order, how many hours were estimated for that job, and how many hours did you perform the job? So this is absolutely critical part of job costing, is a critical system in your organization to help track and monitor where your gross margin is and help improve it. Remember, know your costs, know your costs, know your costs. How about that, Ed?
That's awesome. That's awesome, Bill. So we covered the macro side. We covered the micro side. But this is a part that the next piece is really a part that many, I think, fall down on. And that's when you get a new job, have a new job startup meeting. And you'd want to include in this meeting, you'd want to include your customer so that you all are on the same page with what's going to be done. You want to review the existing conditions and make sure the specifications, match. You want to do a thorough quality review of the property so that you know what needs to be done in order to bring it up to the level the customer is expecting. And then as you start the job, you want to make sure that, things like the irrigation system, it gets taken care of right away. It doesn't drag on. You know why? Because if there's problems with the system and those problems can be billed extra, let's get it billed extra. If you drag that process out, then you may not be able to bill for it, and then you're going to have problems with the landscape, either your flowers or your lawns. So jump right on that work. Get it done right away. The other thing is make sure it's very clear with the customer, what is extra and what's not extra. What's in a base contract, what's expected, and what's going to be billable. And then, of course, don't disappoint your client. Create proposals to enhance the maintenance work, to provide suggestions for improvement of the property, and to even renovate areas if it's needed. And that way you'll be able to make additional monies and the property will look better and the customer's going to be happier. The other thing is, make sure that if there's a major issue, stop right there. If there's a problem when you begin a job, stop right away, fix the problem or get clarification from the owner or property manager. Don't let it drag on. Don't let that go, because that's going to potentially sour the relationship going forward. So, let it be a big red light if there's a problem. Also, when the crews, on that first day or even before, I know some of the clients I work with, after they get a job, they, they think about how to do the job the best they can and the fastest way they can. And then they bid the job. But after they get the job, then they meet again and they think about how can we do the job even faster and better, maintaining the level of quality, of course, but how can we do it faster, better with the people we have to do the job? So they have a briefing meeting and they think it out. How can we do this job quicker and faster? Who's going to do the job? Do we have the right equipment? What are the crews going to do? Where's the truck going to be parked? Where do we need to put our fuel? And they discuss all of that from the very beginning so that they can maximize the efficiency on the job. That's really important. And then, of course, keep comparing, to the plan, what the plan is compared to, what the performance was, to keep seeing if you can make it better. And then, of course, do the necessary things to reduce your amount of labor you're spending on jobs. For example, if you're responsible for weeding shrub beds, you may want to put a pre-emerge down, before the mulch goes in. All that type of thing is important. And also, if there's the horticultural needs, let's say on your lawns and your shrubs or whatever applications you have to put down, make sure you qualify the timing. Sometimes customers get upset because they feel that, certain things should be done sooner or later than you're doing them. So make sure you qualify that as well in that new job startup meeting. So all these things, they may sound like, oh, Ed, I don't have time for these things. That's what I hear. But you know what? You have to make the time later if you have a problem. So why not take the time right at the start and get all of these points, addressed, with the customer, with the performance of the work, with your extra work, what has to be done, and the way the work is going to be done. And if you do all those things, you'll continue to tighten up the hours used, and it'll increase your gross margin. And that's what it's all about, making more money.
Thanks, Bill and Ed. It's really, really terrific stuff. And if you're like me, I need a quick review of those three key areas for it to really sink in. So here they are. 1, have a budget and track your costs. 2, do job costing for revenue streams of 10% or greater. And number three, focus on new job startups. So thanks for listening, and stay tuned for another Grow Show podcast that will unveil three more key ways to increase your gross margin. In the meantime, please get out and harvest your potential.